Well, as you may have heard last week, Professor Mike Colombo studies birds and he's trying to work out how their tiny brains can do so much. As much as apes.
Well, I have two lines of research. One is animal behavior / cognition, and I work with pigeons. When I was back in the States, I worked with monkeys and I did those studies. But when I shifted to New Zealand, I shifted species to pigeons, and I'm very glad I did that because they're absolutely wonderful. I can train my pigeons on everything that I trained my monkeys on, which is interesting. Second line of studies is we take what we know about animal behavior and cognition, and we look to see how that is implemented neurally in the brain. So we do a lot of neuroscience studies. We drop wires in the brain and listen in to the activity of nerve cells while the animals are playing these complicated or simple tasks.
And what has it taught you so far about the cognition and such like?
Well, most of our studies, I would say, are in the spirit of Skinner's old Columban simulation projects, which were actually brilliant. So many years ago, somebody would come up with an amazing thing that their monkey did. And what was amazing about Skinner is he would then train his pigeons to do effectively the same thing. So somebody would come out with symbolic communication between two chimpanzees. So Skinner trained two pigeons to talk to each other. Or the classic insight study, where Sultan, the chimpanzee, knocks down the bananas out of reach by putting together two sticks and stacking up boxes. He trained his pigeon, put the pigeon in a situation, and sure enough, the pigeon would peck at the box until it was underneath the fake banana and jump on the... It was absolutely fantastic. So the whole idea is to show that a lot of these complex behaviors are actually quite simple. So we published a paper not too long ago on numerical abilities, where colleagues of ours had trained their monkeys on abstract numerical reasoning. And there were certain parameters which seemed to suggest that they were doing very well on this. And they were doing very well. But we were able to show that our pigeons did exactly the same thing. And in fact, the title of our paper was Pigeons on Par with Primates in Numerical Competence. It made a big splash. It got published all over in all the journals. Everybody misinterpreted it as pigeons counting, which of course they weren't counting. But it was a study showing that you can get pigeons, which have, you know, a brain the size of a walnut, to do these very, very complex and interesting tasks.
But are we so different from the other animals that what Skinner was implying about motivation and will, in other words, self-awareness and desire and intention, is a whole league above what animals can do?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, actually. Richard Sapolsky was mentioning one time, interestingly trying to point out what is different. Apparently we share 98.6 is the catchphrase of our DNA with chimpanzees, and apparently that's true. And I think he went and looked at where the differences were in the genes, and it turns out that there weren't many differences in terms of things that were coding for different levels of intelligence or motivation. They were all in things like, you know, standing upright and the fur on your back. And what is different between us and other animals is perhaps the number of neurons that we have. Now, Sapolsky went one step further and he said that it's an interesting idea that with quantity comes quality. So the more neurons gives us all these abilities to do all these different things. I don't think that's right, though. I don't think that's right at all. I think with quantity does come the ability to do more things, but not necessarily a qualitative difference. If you think about it, there's a flexibility to human behavior that perhaps doesn't exist to the same extent in the avian brain or even in the non-human primate brain.
You talked about your cognitive research. What other work are you on at the moment?
So the other stuff that we do is the neural research. So we look at these cognitive abilities and we see how they're implemented in the brain. And we do that by doing stuff, what's called single unit electrophysiology. We drop wires in the brain and, of course, you know, you have billions of nerve cells in the brain and they're all communicating with each other through bursts of electricity. So you drop a wire next to a nerve cell and you listen to the pattern of firing. And that pattern of firing is a language. And by deciphering that language, we can figure out how different things are implemented in the brain. So we did a series of studies a couple of years ago where we looked at executive control. So this is a very high ability in the human brain. We get all this information that comes into our brain and we can't possibly process it all. So we naturally filter, we look at what's relevant, we store what's relevant, and we tend to ignore the rest. We engage in this process of filtering. This is called executive control. And we wanted to ask the question, well, can a pigeon do that as well? So we train pigeons on a very simple memory task. It's called delayed matching to sample. They see a stimulus, there's a delay period, and then at the end of the delay, there are two stimuli, one similar to the one it saw. So that's the one it has to press to get a reward. And the only way it can tell the difference between the one it had seen and the one it hadn't seen is by remembering what it originally saw. So this is called a memory task, and and you find in the brain of all sorts of animals, rats, pigeons, monkeys, humans, that there are memory cells, cells that fire when the animal is trying to remember what it had seen initially. So we wanted to see, can we modulate this memory activity? And the way we did that was, after we showed the animal a stimulus, we then told it, you better remember that, or you can forget that. All right, so if we said, you better remember that, then there was going to be that test that I described. But if we told it, you don't have to remember that, that meant there was no test that was going to come up. And we found that, so you have this activity that increases during the delay. We told that when we told the animal to remember, you'd get this tremendous activity throughout the delay period, the memory cells. And when we told the animal, you can forget that, it's not important, that activity dropped off. It just went away. So even in the pigeon brain, something as complicated as executive control, as filtering information, is represented in the activity of neurons, much in the same way as it is in our brain. So we take these behaviors and we look in to see how they're implemented neurally. Another study that we did most recently was on gambling. We trained pigeons to play a slot machine task, which is about, I mean, it sounds all complicated, but let's face it, there's nothing complicated about playing a slot machine. You just need to put some coins in the machine and pull an arm and look to see whether you have four of a kind or not. And so we programmed it, and it looked really, and I had made all the noises of a slot machine. The pigeon would peck at the arm, which would go down, and it would start the tumblers, and it would look at the tumblers as they stopped. And of course, if it got four cherries or four of anything, it would get a reward, anything less than four of a kind, and it wouldn't. And it's a pretty simple task, and we found that there were cells in the pigeon brain that responded when it got four in a row. We call these I1 cells. So the cell didn't fire when the first cherry came up, or the second, or the third, but as soon as the fourth cherry came up, the cell fired like crazy. And of course, a pigeon can tell when four of a kind will get it a reward. And of course, if there are I1 cells, we found also I lost cells, cells that would fire, but as soon as there was a different stimulus that came on the tumbler, i.e. meaning the pigeon wasn't going to get a reward, it stopped firing completely. So these types of behaviors, I mean, what you think are complicated behaviors, are represented in the neural architecture of the pigeon brain. And doing it in the pigeon also tells you these are the limits of what you need to actually have a system that does this type of behavior. You don't need an enormous brain with many cells. It sort of defines the range of neural architecture that you need to perform these types of things. And that's the advantage of doing them in pigeons.
The continuing revelations on the brilliance of birds, including pigeons. Mike Colombo is Professor of Psychology at the University of Otago in New Zealand.